What is true health? What is true wellness? And how do these two concepts intersect and interact with each other? And how many different elements of our lives feed into the way we think about and approach health and wellness? What about spirituality? Mental health? How do these things impact the way we feel and function on a daily basis? Hey y'all, I'm Reese, and welcome to Making Meaning. Making Meaning is a podcast by the Cohere Collective here to help you find and make meaning in a way that makes sense for you. And this week, I sit down with certified health coach Sneha Patel. Sneha is one of the most all-around intelligent and wise is the word that's coming to me, wise people that I know in terms of physical health, mental health, spiritual health. She truly is kind of a renaissance woman in terms of these different areas of health. In this conversation, we talk about her approach to being a health coach, her approach to her own health, and the many ways that this impacts her purpose in life in wanting to help other people feel good so they can live their purpose. This is your first time here. Thank you so much. Welcome. Please subscribe wherever you are listening or watching this podcast and leave us a rating, review, comment, D, all of the above. If you leave us a comment or a review, you may just get a shout out in a future episode. I believe that is all I have. So let's go ahead and take a deep breath. And get started. Sneha, thank you so much for joining me and coming on the podcast. I'm so appreciative.
Well, Reese, of course. I'm just honored to be here, honestly.
Thank you.
I love it.
Well, the first question I always ask just to kind of set the tone for the conversation we're about to have is what is one thing you're grateful for right now?
One thing I'm grateful for is just having a really fun, light summer. I haven't had that in years. And it's been since 2019 since I had a summer like that. But even then, like, I don't think my, like, what I was doing was right for me, like, very aligned with me. I was, like, drinking and stuff like that then, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
It's just, like, I still felt off. And I just kind of was having fun, doing stuff, which served me at the time.
Right.
But now I'm having a summer that's, like, so me, and I'm having fun, and just being silly and being a kid, and I'm just, like, really grateful for that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, thank
you. That's so lovely. So, being silly and being a kid, talk to me about what it feels like, because we're adults now, which feels weird to say, but what is leaning back into that, like, kid-like play and joy feel like?
If I'm being honest, it kind of brings me, well, right now I'm hanging out with my sister and my cousin a lot. My sister's 18, my cousin's 14. I'm 27. That's a bit of an age gap.
Yes.
And they're kids, you know?
Yeah.
So being around kids helps me get, like, into that space.
Totally.
But then it also kind of reminds me of, like, I don't think I had this much fun as a kid myself. And, like, no wonder I need it so bad as an adult, which you just need it in general as an adult.
Yeah.
That, like, fun and play. But, like, I'm like, I don't think I ever really let go like this as a kid or had the opportunity to really just purely have fun. And so, yeah, to answer your question.
I love that. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Well, and I do think that there is something really magical about, like, you also getting to provide your sister and cousin with maybe some of that, like, childlike joy that you missed out on a little bit, being an older sister and all of that stuff, that, like, you get to provide that is probably really cathartic.
Yeah, like, they can tap into it easier than I can, and they, like, bring it out of me, which I think is so fun, and, like, I'm, like, being such a goofball and, like, kind of cringing a little at myself, but, like, it's fun. It's, like, a fun cringe, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to have fun and be goofy, you really just have to lean into the weirdness of it, too, like, because kids are weird. Kids are so weird, and so it's just, like, kind of brings me back to that, and then, like, I had it at, like, little times when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. stuff is inconsistent. Like, when you're growing up, you have a friend, next day you don't. Yeah. Or, like, you're relying on your parents to take you places and this and that. And so it's just, like, or you have friends that are, like, toxic.
Yeah.
And a lot of drama, where it's just, I don't have any of that right yeah. now. It's just about the fun. There's no yeah. drama involved. There's no one messing with me. There's no one playing games, because I don't allow that in my life.
Yes.
And I'm just here for good, clean fun.
I like good, clean fun. I yeah. love that. Well, and it's very much like when you're a kid, everything feels like the end of the world, because yeah. everything is so important,
yeah.
because your life is so short that mm-hmm. it's like everything is really important at that time.
Right.
And so it just feels so much bigger. So now having that perspective on it and yeah. then also being able to tap back into that is really special. I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, next question mm-hmm. to really break open the conversation is, what is your story? I know that that's a big
one.
Question, a loaded one, but whatever you feel called to share about yeah. in this moment is perfect.
Perfect. I think, like, if anybody just on the street asked me, I'd be like, well, like, I grew up in a really odd way. Like, my parents are entrepreneurs, and because of that, being Indian and being first generation, when they came to this country and everything, they were like, how do we make money and how do we make good money so we can really set our family up? It required a lot of hard work. My dad bought a motel, and so he fixed it up. My parents got married at the same around that same time. And we lived in that motel as well. So it's like our home was in, here was our home, and then the rest of it was like our motel. And that's a 24/7 business. They
yeah.
did everything. They cleaned rooms. They did night. They did everything. And to grow up like that as a kid is really tough.
Well, like there's literally, when you talk about like work-life balance, it's impossible, because it's literally physically the same space.
Yes. Yes, so that's, like, all I had ever known.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I didn't know other people whose environment was like that, because, like, there were some other Indian kids I knew, and, like, people in a community who, like, also, like, parents did similar things.
Sure.
Right? But then family dynamics play into that and really influence yeah. how this goes. Is it going to go well for your family? All of that. There's a lot of sacrifice that you see, like, on your end you have to do even as a kid, but on the parents' end as well. My parents don't see that I had to do a lot of sacrifices as well, maybe because they just don't want to for their own sanity,
sure.
you know? They want to think that, like, they gave us everything and, yeah. like, nothing bad at all, which, like, I'm grateful for my parents. Like, I went to therapy.
Yeah.
I went through my villain era. Yeah. Like, I got it out of me. Like,
yeah, she had her reputation era.
Yeah,
and
literally, that's what happened. I had to do it. And so I just grew up, I was a very sensitive kid. I grew up just, like, not having my emotions ever, like, regulated. I didn't know what, like, any of that looked like, because my parents didn't know about any of that. They didn't
yeah.
know any of that stuff. A lot of trauma got passed down, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of projecting. I have this rough relationship with my mom growing up as a kid. My parents just not a great relationship as well. So that also influenced it. So because of that, I started accumulating a lot of, like, emotional trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on it in therapy and everything. And I thought these last few years, like, up until last year, like, not that I was good and healed, but I had let go,
right.
you know? But my body hadn't let go.
Mm.
So, you know, if, like, the body keeps the score.
Yeah.
That's the situation, like, I've been in and I'm still kind of in. And I've had, like, chronic pain since I was a teenager on my shoulders and my neck. And it's just, like, it's, like, the weight of life is what it feels like truly, like, on me. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's not. And so that was, like, one of my health problems that started. And because of the environment I grew up in, like, you know, all that, it's, like, a perfect storm.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because of that, I started, like, all these toxicities. My body started just, like, accumulating them. You know, just last year I found I had mold toxicity, glyphosate toxicity, and just, like, gut health just in shambles,
yeah.
all of this stuff. Because my coping mechanisms and the way I was, like, going about my life, too, wasn't, like, helping my health either.
Mm.
And I was, like, playing into my own chaos, like, creating my own chaos. And it just wasn't helping me. And so because of that, that's another factor that also determined, like, how my health went for me.
Sure.
And just not having guidance, I think, a lot in my life really led me down, like, a path where I had to go through all these really hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And being so lost and having this, like, unrealistic expectations set upon me by my family. And I just spent a lot of time being lost, like, since I was, like, got to college at, like, 18 to, like, early last year. I'm 27 now. No shame, no,
no
shame.
Not at all.
I just, you know, I didn't know what I was doing in college at all. I felt like I was floating around, didn't want to be there. I was having the hardest time finding my purpose and my passion. But I had my intuition was kind of there as well. I just wasn't really listening to her. And I had a feeling that something about business and about, like, health was, like, drawing me together.
Yeah.
So I went, like, the medical route, you know. It just didn't feel right. It felt very chaotic as well. So I was like, I don't think this is it. Then I went to business school, got my information systems degree and everything. And that wasn't it either for me. I quickly hated it after some internships and jobs. And then I was like, maybe I should do healthcare administration. I was like, I really want to help people. I know I need, like, something where I feel like I'm making a difference.
Mm.
And that also felt very corporate-y. And, like, I couldn't really make a difference.
Sure.
And then after that, I started doing marketing and creativity stuff. Because I was like, maybe I need to, like, lean into my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I never allowed that for myself. So then I tried doing so many different things. I did like it. And it did teach me some things. But it still felt like I was missing the bigger picture, maybe. Like, the thing keeping me going. Like, it wasn't fueling me enough. And then I really just, like, was like, well, what am I always obsessing about? Like, what am I, like, cannot get off of my mind?
Right.
And it was, like, wellness. Like, health and wellness. Like, I would talk my friends and family's ears off about, like, the new thing I would learn. Maybe my health and wellness. Podcasts I would listen to. Books I would read. And then I was just like, how do I get into that? How do I get into holistic health? And I actually had listened to a podcast about, like, this, like, health expert. And I was like, well, how is she an expert?
Yeah.
And then so I saw that she also did, like, some certifications, became a certified coach, health and wellness coach and everything. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, staring at me in the face for so many years. But I didn't see it until I was like, actually, I think I can pursue this.
Yeah.
I think I can do this. And it was just, like, the most dumbfounding thing ever. Like, it was insane. And when I told all my friends, they were like, how have we not realized that? And they were just like, they were so like, that's it. Like, that is it for you.
What do you think it was that was the final, like, oh my gosh, obviously. Like, what was the switch that flipped?
I think the switch had flipped was I was looking for different, like, income streams at the time, early last year. And I was like, how can I different, like, make that happen for myself?
Sure.
And then, like, usually people who have different income streams are an expert in something. And I was like, okay, well, I feel like I'm an expert kind of in health and wellness stuff, but I'm not really as well. And so that kind of, like, hurt, knowing that and having that reality check with myself.
Meaning, like, the self-education piece you have, but there's no, like, formal
thing backing me up.
Got it.
And it's also really hard to get that information as well, I will say. It's not out on Google. Like, the most you can see is, like, TikTok, it feels like, because that's where people are candidly honest. I was like, well, I want that holistic information, the health and wellness, the functional medicine. Where can I find that information? So podcasts where I leaned into it, where you'd find the bits and pieces. And then, but, like, grouping it all together was really hard. So it just felt like I had random little pieces together, but nothing, like, it's like the big piece of the puzzle. It was lost somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you had the corner pieces, but we need to, like, build the other things in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so then I I was just like, so then I was like, well, how do I become this like expert at this thing? Like, it started getting my, like, I don't know, my brain turning.
Yeah.
And started really thinking about it, and I was like having a reality check with myself. And then I had also been like listening to like a bunch of stuff about like how to discover your purpose and passion. Mm. And I just kept asking myself, like, what is it that I love so much? What is it that I obsess over? What is it that I'm so passionate about? And everything would lead me back to, like, gut health. Everything that would lead me back to would be, like, autoimmune disease disorders. Like, things like that. And mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listened to that podcast with that expert, her name was Vanessa Fitzgerald, and I was just like, wow. Well, there is a way, actually. I didn't know there was a way. And it felt like because someone else took her seriously and gave her credibility, I was like, well, how can I not get that? I can get that too.
Yeah.
Right? I just didn't think that people would take me seriously.
Right.
Right? And all this holistic stuff wasn't in mainstream until now. It's still getting there, but it's there at least. And that's what, like, really just opened the floodgates. Not the floodgates. But open the doors.
Yeah.
Open the doors for me, and I just felt like I cracked the code on, like, the one of the biggest things for myself, and I was just, like, on cloud 9, like, when I figured that out for myself, and I was just so proud of myself and just telling all of my family and my friends about it, and I just felt so right about it, and I still do. And I had a feeling there was something more I wanted from it. Like,
sure.
At the time, it was just wanting to get my certification to be a functional health and wellness coach.
Yeah. The next steps are clear.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you, once you know where you're going, you can get there. Mm. But I had no idea where I was going. And so that's why I was kept hitting walls. Because I'm like, okay, I'm doing this, but where am I going? Like,
yeah.
What's
the point?
Exactly. What's the point? What's the next steps? I can't see beyond anything else. But, like, now that I've chosen, like, and then through that certification, at the end of it, I started realizing, I was like, I think I actually want to be a functional medicine practitioner. And, like, I wouldn't admit it to myself for a few months, thinking, like, I wasn't capable still, or, like, there was a lot more I needed to do in order to prove myself.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, no, shoot, like, that's what I want to do. That is the next step, and I can see it so clearly. And I was like, and it's going to be hard work.
Yeah.
But it's the first time where it's hard work I've wanted to pursue.
It's the hard work worth doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you
Loaded.
Think?
Loaded, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. What, why do you think, even once you had kind of, you said you cracked the code, which I just love.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like this big puzzle, to also use another one of your analogies, that, it's like you're trying to solve a puzzle, but you don't even have the picture for reference.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I have these things, but what is it building up to? Mm-hmm. When you finally found that reference picture, so you can kind of start searching for these other pieces, why do you think, where was that piece that was still, you said that there was still this, like, feeling of the perhaps, like, not quite good enough, or holding you back just a little bit, or maybe needing another, like, certification or some sort of formal credibility.
Yes.
Why do you think that was there?
It was all fear. It was all fear-based. Like, there was, like, it's all, there's no reason, you know? Like, I know myself at the end of the day, before the overthinking kicks in, I am more than capable. I'm a very intelligent woman.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just great, honestly.
Yes,
like,
yes!
Like, I know that. But then the overthinking kicks in, and then, like, I think it's, like, I start thinking of, like, how other people will perceive me and stuff like that. And, like, I had family members who are in the medical field and everything, and it's just like holistic health is so drastic but different from that, and some people will not take you seriously or even give you the credibility that you deserve, even if you've walked the path. Like, I'm not somebody that just, like, up and decided this is what I want to do.
Right.
I've had to walk this path to get here.
Yeah.
Like, I've had shit health still am getting better. And then I got there.
Yeah.
Can we cuss? I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. As I realized that, like, I have a lot to offer, and I don't know, it's just the overthinking that kicks in, but it's, I think what it is before the overthinking kicks in, when you have that sense of, like, this is it, I know it in my bones, in my soul, like, the overthinking will come right after that, but you have to remember that the truth in the reality is the first thought that you had, not all of the rest that followed, because then those aren't even your own thoughts, those are other people's thoughts. Yeah, those are other people's thoughts that kept me from seeing the whole picture.
I want to, like, pause on that. Goosebumps. The truth is that first thought.
Yes.
All the overthinking that kicks in after is someone else's thought.
Yeah.
Other people's thoughts.
Yeah.
That is so profound. What do you think was the... when you realized that, like... how did that change the way you approached this path?
I mean, I became more confident in telling people. I used to have a really hard time just, like, when people were like, what do? You know? And, like, for a long time, I'd be like, I'm still figuring it out. Yeah. So, and then now I'm just so proud. I'm like, I work in functional medicine. That's what I do. And then I explain it further along, right?
Yeah.
And... ask me a question one more time. I want to make sure I'm really answering it.
Yeah, no, you're good. How does that realization that the truth is that first thought, how has that changed the way that you approach
your path? Oh, okay, yes. I mean, I keep it in mind, right? When you're not ignoring yourself and you're not trying to, like, just hide and stuff like that, and you really actually let your intuition, your higher self, like, speak in, and you listen to it, and you trust it, then, like, that is so right. Because there's never a time where I've had where my intuition or my higher self has said something to me and it doesn't feel right. Mm. It's never happened. And I don't think that is, like, a thing at all.
Yeah.
Because if you feel it in your body, what it feels right, your body knows what feels right and what feels wrong. Like, when you see someone who is, like, dangerous or something, your body tenses up.
Yeah.
Or a dangerous situation or something, and or a situation you don't like to be in, your body tenses up. Your body knows before you do.
Totally.
And what I've realized is that, like, when my body is feeling good, my body's responding well, I'm feeling really light those days, that's what I need to listen to. And so it's like, before the thoughts kick in, like ask yourself, how is it that you feel? Like, how is it that, literally, how is it that you feel? Like, why do you feel so light? Like, why are you feeling so clear?
Ooh,
that's what it is. That's what it is, actually. When that first thought always feels so clear. Maybe it's the second or third thought for the other person, but what I'm saying is like, when whatever it is that you're trying to do or getting to, or that decision you're trying to make, and something pops in your head and you're like, that's the one, that's right, feels so crystal clear, and then everything else kicks in, then you're like, oh, well, now I'm stuck again in this spiral. And that's because none of that is clear. That's all that vague, other people's thoughts, other people's emotions that are projected onto you, and their versions of their lives projected onto you. That's not you at all. Once it starts getting muddy, that's not you.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a leading question, which I'm so bad about, but I'm like...
that's fine. I like it. Let's do it. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Because one thing I was thinking about is when you were talking about your experience in college, that you knew that your intuition was there, but you weren't listening to her.
Yeah.
And now, when you were just talking, you were talking about how that first gut that is your intuition, it's calling in your higher self. It's that alignment with... purpose, and that brings clarity. One thing that I think I've struggled with, and I still struggle with, is being able to identify the difference between intuition and anxiety.
Yes.
Or, like, a gut feeling and, like, oh, this is the nervous feeling that means, but you're excited and you should do it anyways, mm-hmm. or the stress feeling that means, no, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it is that clarity that is the difference there?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
I actually asked an intuition coach that answer. I was like, how do I know the difference between intuition and fear?
Yeah.
And we did this whole intuition like exercise and everything, and she said that intuition always is clear. It never, your higher self is always going to do what's best for you and what's good for you. And once those other emotions start kicking in, that's when, like, it's like, imagine a clear vase, clear water, it's just mudding it up. It's like pebbles being thrown in. And so that's the difference. It can be hard to figure it out, I will say, if you're not used to listening to yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not used to your intuition and everything. But your intuition will never give you anxiety or fear or any of that, because it's not supposed to be like that at all. And which I'm sure you felt that at times, right? Where it's like, it feels so like this is right, and then everything else kicks in, but that's because of that, those are life's problems.
Yeah.
Those are everything else that's kicking in and everything. But if you listen to that guidance that you already have within yourself, then like you will be okay.
Yeah.
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 I have to believe that in order to get through this life, honestly. Yeah.
Truly. Well, and to continue in talking about one of the, I mean, in my opinion, obviously you're much more expert on this than I am, but one of the foundational principles of functional health is that connection between body and spirit,
mind,
whatever,
soul.
Right,
yes,
whatever you want to call the, like, ephemeral
spirit,
other thing.
Yeah.
And I do think that, like, intuition taps into that intersection between the two, where you are, like, you're saying, pulling in your higher self, pulling in source, the universe, but then we do go back to, how does it feel in our bodies?
Yeah.
Like, is that the, like, butterfly in our stomach, like, clenching, jaw tight, shoulders tense, or is it the clarity, relaxation, rest?
Yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit more about that intersection and the interplay between those two pieces?
Yeah, definitely. I will say that I've always been really intuitive. It's just times we all have them where we don't listen to it and we do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all of us, many of us, have had times where we're like, I knew that. You know? We're like, I should have listened to myself.
Yeah.
I should have done this. And it's like, I just knew it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person that was in your life that was causing all that chaos, you're like, I just knew it.
Yep.
That's your intuition.
Yeah.
That is your intuition. You didn't listen to it at first. It's always in your head, like a little voice in your head. That's what it is for me, at least. That's kind of like, it's not always talking or anything, but sometimes it just like drops in when I need it. And it's different for everybody. But like, yeah, like when you're in a situation where something's telling you to leave, you know? Or like any situation you're in, we've all had them where something's like, you're not safe here, you need to leave.
Yeah.
Some people don't, something bad happens. And then some people do, and then they have to find out something bad had happened. They're like, I'm so grateful I left.
Yeah.
They listened, and they feel that relief just like soaring through their body because they listened to themselves. But you never regret following your intuition. Like, you just don't. And if you do things that are, you know, I want to say, if you do things that are hurtful to other people or to yourself, that's never intuition. That was never alignment with yourself at all. That's you just being chaotic. Like, really. That's you being chaotic, and that's you playing into the reactivity of your life, you know? And, but, like, I feel like people who might do that, there's no way they feel really actually good in their bodies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like, they don't feel good about themselves, but, like, there's no way that their body likes that, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I feel like, does that answer your question?
Totally. And,
it does.
I think I just kind of have a follow-up. It absolutely does. But I'm thinking about this, like, is it possible for, because, like, hurting someone else is, like, my worst fear.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to do that. But I think sometimes, like, your intuition or, like, higher self will bump up against someone else's higher self. And it's not that you're hurting them, but it's perhaps y'all are, like, pushing each other to be better. Mm-hmm. Like, where does, because I agree with you, when you're hurting someone else or yourself, you're not in alignment, but I do think that sometimes inevitably, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
And so what's that interplay like, where it's like, well, I may hurt someone else's feelings, but, like, that's also okay. And that's also part of, like, learning that I am not meant for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I know I'm not for everybody.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, not everybody's for me either.
Yeah.
I don't want to be for everybody. I used to. Yeah. I definitely did. I wanted to be liked so bad, and I was people-pleasing and all of that, and I still have those tendencies, you know? Or those times I'll have to call up, like, a friend or something and be like, am I right or wrong in this situation?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm feeling a little guilty. Is that actual guilt, or is that the people-pleasing guilt, you know? There's a difference between the two. And, I don't know, I think that your question was about intuition, how, like, yours might go over somebody else's?
Yeah, I guess, like, the difference between, like, hurting someone else and that being out of alignment versus, like, making someone upset.
Mm.
And that could still possibly be in alignment. Like, what's...
Yeah, definitely. So it's, like, if you feel like there's something you have to say, like, to the point where, like, you're kind of feeling a little sick because you're keeping it in, it's racing through your mind, and then, like, if you're having to outwardly talk about it a lot to other people, you're going to A, B, C, and, like, all these people talking about the situation, but you're doing actually nothing about it and telling it to that person, then, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's not helping you at all.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, because also any time that I have, like, been in that situation where it's, like, I'm, like, belaboring over this decision or, like, in my head about it, and I talk to all these people before I actually just go to that person, it's like, aren't you hurting them more by doing that than the honesty there?
You are.
So,
you are.
Yeah.
Because then you're just being selfish in a way when you're not being honest to the other person and about your own feelings. Like,
you're putting your feelings above them
exactly.
in that situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because you don't want to face the uncomfortability of emotions, you know?
That's it.
Like, I definitely don't mean that intuition doesn't mean drama.
Right.
Drama's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes having conversations with people who aren't receptive to that, it'll cause drama, right?
Yeah.
But you need to say it in order to move on in your life.
Mm.
And then you feel better. What I've noticed is that, like, if I've had times where I've had to cut a friend off.
Yeah.
You know?
We've all been there. Yeah.
And, like, I don't want to say it, but, like, I'm like, I have to. So then I did, and I felt nothing but relief after.
Mm.
I felt so light. I felt so good. I know that that person was hurt, but honestly, I didn't care because I was like, I feel like I just did the best thing for myself. Like,
yeah.
I don't need that energy or that person in my life at all. I wish them the best. It's not like I don't like them or anything. I wish them the best, you know? We had some good times, but now we're not, like, for each other anymore.
Yeah.
We're not growing together. We're not helping one another be better for one another. Or, like, we're just adding chaos into the world being friends together.
Mm.
And so it's like, why would we keep doing that? But that person doesn't see that yet. But I saw that. Right? So that's my intuition being above theirs, knowing better. And I'm like, they've only keep hurting me. And I feel like, as a person, I was just getting smaller and smaller because they were hurting me. And so I was going out and gossiping about how annoying that person is. Or, did you see that she did this or that? You know? I'm like, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, gossip like that.
And that's sending more negativity their way than saying with peace and love.
Yeah.
It's actually going to be better for both of us to discontinue our engagement.
Exactly. If you're not honest and you just want to spare their feelings, all it's doing is infecting you with more negativity and just, like, whatever, anger, like, disgust, shame, whatever those feelings that you have, you're just allowing it more of that into your life.
One thing I'm thinking about, too, is the image that you painted earlier of the clear vase with the clear water just being that feeling of pure, like, intuition.
Yes.
And in this situation, it's almost like when you have something muddying the water, it's like taking a little spoon and scooping it out.
Yeah.
And if, like, mud wants to be mud, it wants to cloudy things up, and it may be hard, but scooping it out of your water is actually protecting that clarity and purity.
Exactly.
And it's just going, it's not going to ever become clear staying in your water.
Exactly.
All that's going to do is murky up yours.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think also that there's something in there about, like, the importance of, yes, protecting your peace, but also that, like, it is ultimately, when we're talking about, like, not wanting to hurt someone else and not wanting to hurt ourselves, but inevitably we will, right? That there is something about, like, you can hurt someone in this moment and still be doing something that is beneficial for your growth and theirs.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. In the long term. Like, there's these, it can feel really bad to do those things and be like, oh, I did hurt that person. Am I, like, operating not in my truth? But I think sometimes it's like, no, truth can be messy.
Empowering a bestie. Like,
truth
can be everything. Like, I'll give you an example. One of my best friends I've known forever, you know, like, we have a hard time kind of being honest with each other and talking to each other about our feelings and any time where we've hurt each other, our actions and just things we've said. And that isn't, like, because, like, we just don't care or anything. It's because of, like, our own trauma sometimes, like, get in the way of that. Whereas, like, I myself felt like, you know, being, like, being up front to someone so close to me was just so hard because I thought that they just weren't going to understand me even if I tell them the truth, because that happened to me in my childhood. Whereas, like, she felt that if she expressed herself, she was just not going to be, like, even, like, heard at all or, like, thought of as crazy or something, right? Or so anything like that. But basically, like, we had this huge conversation and everything, and, like, in the conversation, you know, she was like, well, it hurts me that it took you this long to say something. And it hurts me that you, like, you know, think this and say this. But, I mean, we had more conversations about it is the thing. And, like, I told her, I was like, well, this hurt me too. But we had to express our hurt to move on. And, like, we're still best friends, you know? You don't have to cut everybody off. But if you're not even allowing yourself to have that real honest conversation, then you don't give that opportunity for growth to be there.
100% One thing, my therapist is actually she specializes in relationships, which is so funny because I am single. But I'm like, I've learned a lot about relationships from her expertise there. But one thing she always says that she talks to about her couples, and she's, like, gifted me with this advice to, like, think about any relationship, whether it be romantic, platonic, familial, whatever, is in the context of marriage, it's like, if you're not willing to walk away, there's no growth that can happen because you have to be, right? Like, you have to be willing to say, this is the boundary that I will not cross. Otherwise, nothing's going to change. There has to be something there to, like, build up from. And that's informed a lot of my relationships with, like, well, if I'm not willing to walk away from this person, they could treat me any way they wanted to, and it would not matter. And, I mean, it's a two-way street, right? If they're not willing to walk away from me, I can do anything I want, and it will not matter. And the relationship will
just digress.
It'll be at the detriment to the relationship. Right? And so having enough self-respect to go into something, even with your best friend, and be like, I'm willing to walk away if something like this happens, but then caring enough about each other to work on that is, like, what I think shows love. I'm like, I always feel so, like, corny in going there, but it's like, it does,
It does, and I'm definitely one of those types of people, it's like, when I'm hurt, my sometimes initial reaction can be to walk away. And, like, I kept having, like, thoughts like that. But I just know, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. It's just like how I've been treated in the past. I always told myself I will walk away from treated like that again, you know? And so we just had that conversation. I laid down my boundaries, told her like what this and this happened wasn't okay. She told me the same thing, and that like, you know, we know to like not do that again. And if we do, we need to immediately talk about it, not wait months to talk about it. But like, I just know exactly our relationship could have just been digressing and to the been to the point of detriment if we kept going down the road, the same road, and taking advantage of each other and assuming the worst of each other.
Yeah.
When, like, we're good people. Yeah. We should assume the best of one another.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, I know between her and I, it's just all love.
Yeah.
It's just life got in the way, things got in the way, our own assumptions got in the way.
Yeah.
Assumptions play such a big role. I am, like, what are those things where people are just like they hate certain things where they're like, oh, I just don't like
them. Oh, like your pet peeve?
Pet peeve. Yeah. Assumptions are my pet peeve.
Mm.
Right? And because like people have made so many assumptions about me, or like people use that as an excuse all the time. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I just thought, I assumed that you wouldn't want this, so I didn't get it for you. I'm like, well, did you ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ask me?
So like,
assumptions are my pet peeve. And I'm guilty of doing it myself.
Yeah, but we are.
Try to be really thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that is really important too. And it makes me think of, I'm such a Brené Brown person. I'm like, have I had a podcast where I haven't mentioned Brené Brown? Probably not.
I mean, she's just great.
She's just great. I'm like, her books are somewhere on the shelf behind me. But one of the things that she has is like the stories that we tell ourselves, right? Yeah. And assumptions are just stories that we tell ourselves.
Exactly.
Either about ourselves or about other people or what other people are thinking about us.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've been really working on recently is realizing that when I'm afraid of judgment or being judged, it's not even that judgment is there. It's that I'm prejudging myself through the vehicle of someone else.
Yes.
Like, I am assuming what they are going to think already. And it's, like, taking these, like, three jumps. And it's like, if they're going to judge you, at least let them make the decision
exactly.
to judge you themselves.
We get so ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, we're just, like, it's our brain trying to rationalize, you know? It's what it is. Based on, like, our own things that we're going through, it's, like, that survival thing kicks in.
It does.
And so that's where it all comes from. But it's, like, oh, my God, so much overthinking. Like, and we as women do it so much where it's, like, I think she's thinking this way of me, or he, or they, or whatever, you know?
It's the self-protection.
Exactly. And so it's just, like, well, and then you actually talk to that person sometimes, and they're, like, well, I didn't say hi because I thought this, and they're, like, I thought you were, like, didn't like me. And you're like, no, actually,
not
you're
at
so
all.
Cool. Not at all. And then you're just like, what was I putting myself through that for?
Yeah.
Like, it's exhausting thinking like that, isn't it?
It totally.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd be totally remiss if we didn't return back to functional health, since that is, like,
I mean, we can talk
your
about
expertise.
I know. Forever, like, thinking about
it's
life.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I found so just beautiful and powerful and important about your story is truly you were talking about purpose and how for so long this you used the word lost, that you felt lost even though there was this sense of something there. And then you found it, and it was just like cloud nine. And it's always been there, and it was right in front of you. Why do you think it's, I mean, you talked a little bit about how functional medicine is in a lot of ways your story in healing yourself and healing your body, and that that's a journey you're still on and will always be on, because no one's ever done with a healing. But why do you think it was functional medicine? Like, what about that
specific one
was like,
this
is it, this is the thing?
So I, you know, I tried the Western medicine approach, like, which nothing bad about Western medicine. I think it has, it serves the purpose that it needs to, of, like, life-saving medicine.
Yeah. You break your arm, you need a cast.
Exactly. I just don't think it serves the purpose of, like, longevity, optimal health, and
preventative.
Preventative, as well as just, like, kind of looking deeper at, like, the root cause of a situation. Yeah. Like, it's symptom-based. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
And so, at the time, I didn't know much about, like, holistic health and things. I knew about, like, Ayurveda because it's, I'm Indian, I grew up in that and things, but it still wasn't science-backed enough for me.
Mm.
And, like, it was just kind of like, here's some things, take that. But I'm like, I'm not that type. Like, I need more explained to me. I need some science behind it as well. And functional medicine serves that purpose of, like, holistic health but with science.
Mm.
So what I did was I did birth control. I did, like, 2 rounds of spironolactone, like, all these things to clear up my acne, balance my hormones. It just kept making me feel way worse.
Mm.
And on top of that, I had a lot of, like, emotional pain in my body. Mm-hmm. My body still was harboring it.
Yeah.
You know, like, nervous system dysregulation is what
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
And for a long time, with the way I grew up, the way I operated in college, even after it, my nervous system was just, like, way out of whack completely, and I was just constantly in fight or flight mode, it felt like. And then I tried so many things. I went to so many specialists for, like, different things, and nothing was helping me. Everything was just making me feel worse.
Mm.
And then last year, and functional medicine isn't covered by health insurance, like,
right.
I'll be honest, it's expensive.
Yeah,
it's a privilege. And I had tried working with also a naturopathic doctor.
Oh, okay.
And this specific naturopathic doctor, I don't think she didn't. It's like naturopathic medicine is also a great option, but it also has to be root cause, that practitioner. Mm. Root cause naturopathic medicine. I didn't know that at the time. So she went to go and try to heal my hormones instead of my gut health.
I see.
You're supposed to heal the gut, and then the hormones can get balanced and everything like that.
I see, because
yeah.
the hormones are being impacted by the gut.
Yes,
gut.
Yeah, yeah. And other underlying things, because I was just like, I'm still not feeling better. So then I just
yeah.
stopped seeing her. That didn't feel right either after a certain point. And then I tried to solve it all myself through the education. So I just had to seek education, try
yeah.
to solve it all myself. I did so many things to try, like, try it, and just, like, it's like I was getting a little bit better, and then it just was all the same again,
mm.
the same symptoms and everything. And then I think it was around last May where I felt like I had felt the best I had felt from February to, like, April in years, like, mental health, clarity. I had done, like, my own little research of, like, certain things to detox.
Mm.
I was taking, like, some practitioner-grade supplements. I was like, let me try a few things on my own before
yeah.
I, like, dish out the big bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I was feeling really good from it and, like, really positive. I had had some test results, like, tell me, like, I was insulin sensitive, like, all these things. Maybe I had candida. And so I was like, okay, well, I know what to do, what supplements to take, so let me try that. So I did some research, did that. Feeling great, thought I had it figured out. Then in May, my parents went to India for, like, 2 months. So they asked me if I could go and take care of the motel. And it was supposed to be for a month. And I was like, okay, fine, sure. At the time, I was freelancing and everything. So I could just work from home. And being in that environment that dysregulated my nervous system in the first place.
You're right back.
Right back. And,
yeah.
like, it's a motel, there's chemicals and, like, things being used with and cleaned with all the time. It just felt like it was all starting to come back again. My mental health wasn't doing good. And it really hurt having a taste of it, of feeling good, and then not again. It just
mm.
felt like I was going in circles and it was driving me crazy. And I was like, I think I need to really speak with someone who knows their stuff.
Yeah.
And so I bit the bullet. And my intuition just kept telling me, if you don't figure this out right now, and you don't just go ahead and go with functional medicine, you will end up with an autoimmune disease.
Mm.
I was so clear on that.
Yeah.
It felt so, like, obvious.
It's just going to keep getting worse.
In my mind and my body, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then I did it, and then through results, I found out I had mold toxicity, glyphosate toxicity. My autoimmune antibodies have showed up. So that's... And,
yeah.
And thankfully, I'm at the age where I'm young and resilient still. And
yeah.
I haven't, like, gotten so, like, far into it. Like, yes, I wasn't feeling well at all. Like, I was just felt, like, rotting all
yeah.
last year. Like, I
yeah.
wasn't feeling good. But it wasn't to the point where, like, I had an autoimmune disease to be diagnosed.
Yeah.
You know? Like, some antibodies definitely have shown up and are there. I have some really high inflammation and everything in me, according to my test results. But, yeah. And so, it was intuition that led me there, and it just felt right, and it was nice. It was really validating. I think I spent, 2 months just, crying about it after the results of, like, I had been feeling, all of this for on and off, 10 years.
Yeah.
And, almost wow. 10 years. And it just felt so validating that it wasn't actually me.
Yeah.
All of these, all the issues I was having trouble with my mental health, with my gut health, I was like, that was never me, and I was being so hard on myself. I was just pushing myself, trying. I'm like, why am I, not as motivated? Why am I not, why am I so fearful? I have so much anxiety. Maybe I need to practice more mindfulness, practice this, do that. And it was exhausting. And I felt like it was so crazy because it felt like I was the healthiest person I knew because I was the one actively doing everything I could do.
It wasn't you.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
And it was
me.
This affirmation, validation, empowerment that what I'm feeling isn't.
It wasn't really
in my
me.
Head. It's
yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. It was like a grieving process I had to go through too of how hard I was on myself and how I had a lot of emotions that happened to me and with the gut health piece I was bloating insane at the time still and then I'm still getting better but the thing about bloating is it can cause a lot of damage to your mental health because it's your body isn't looking what you're used to and I was working out, I was doing all of these things and I'm just confused, you know, and it's I had body dysmorphia too and all of these things already on top of that and I didn't feel comfortable wearing a lot of the clothes I used to wear anymore. My lifestyle had to change, things I wore had to change and it really took a toll on me. And my mental health, oh my God, that piece just sucked. I had such bad brain fog. I was, losing my memory. My short-term memory was awful. And, there are things that my sister, will be remember this? And I'll be like, I don't remember much from last year.
Yeah.
I do remember things, but it's, certain things I'm just like, it's scary, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just... It was nice to know that it actually wasn't me. So I've had another I want to say flare up this early this year, and what got me out of it was friends, support, and remembering that this really isn't me at the end of the day. This is the disease talking, this is the mold talking, this is my anxiety and my fear talking, you know, and it's when you're going through any type of sickness, illness, or just anything in life, you have to remember that it's not actually the real you. It's all of these things that are kind of right now piled on top of you, you know, and layered on you, but when you scrape all that off, that's not the real you. And so that was really I don't know, just freeing.
Yeah Totally. And I have to imagine that freedom that you felt is what you want to give other people.
Yeah, I do. I do. I truly believe that, not believe, I'm passionate about the fact that, a lot of people just accept their health for what it is. But, I really believe that we deserve to feel healthier than we are, than what we're used to. Because I have so many friends, so many people I'm around where they're just I just feel so fatigued all the time. And I'm that's not normal. That's not just really you. You don't need to pump yourself with more caffeine.
Right.
If you're so tired and, you have demanding things all the time from your job, your life, people, and you're just trying to, you're just trying to figure it out. You're like, why am I so tired? I'm getting enough sleep. How much more caffeine can I drink? And then you're just like, it's just a you problem is what you think it is.
Yeah.
You think that's who you
are. I'm lazy. I'm not motivated.
Exactly. Exactly. There's just so many times where I thought I was lazy, unmotivated, not living to my full potential. But that was not me.
Yeah.
At all. And now I get to experience who me really is. And I want to say I'll never forget it, but, like, life happens. But I have I have good people to remind me.
Yeah.
Pull me out of those spirals. I have the right tools now. Therapy is great. Reiki is amazing. Yeah, yeah. That helped a ton. And then going on, like, trips helps a lot, too. Like, Bali changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Sneha, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story. I have two final questions.
Yes.
One is just, in light of our conversation and everything we've talked about, is there anything we missed that you need to get out there? Is there anything that you want to clarify, return to, anything at all you want to share?
Yeah.
This is space for that.
All I honestly, I think, need to say are two things about being lost for as long as I was. It's not normal to feel as lost as long as I was, and I know some people have felt that for even longer in their life, but, like, you don't have to feel like that, actually. Like, you can feel found. Like, you have found something and it has found you. And there are ways to get to it, and I would, like, love to help people figure that out. And I hope that that's what I also get to do on top of functional medicine, because, like, I'm with my sister and my cousin, I'm always encouraging them to try more things, never limit yourself.
Yeah.
Limiting myself is what got me to a lost place. And also just, like, people's expectations of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those other voices.
Those two things really got me there. And I just didn't pursue what I wanted to pursue because of fear. But, like, if you want to do it, freaking do it.
Yeah.
Like, literally, just freaking do it. Because who else is going to live your life other than you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That's just all I need to say.
That's beautiful. Last question.
Yeah.
What is just one word to describe how you're feeling right now?
I think... ready?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like it's, like, just really great timing, the way you asked me to come onto this podcast. You know, I've never done a podcast before. And social media is something I want to pursue so heavily for myself.
Yeah.
For years. It's been this, like, thing in my head I can never get out. Like, I'm constantly just, like, thinking of, oh, this would be a really great idea. This would be some great content. Like, I know in my bones and my soul, it's this intuitive thing that I need to be on social media. I need to present myself on there. But getting to there has been really hard for me. And again, it's like when you're lost, you don't know what to post. And I didn't want to be all vague about what I wanted to be. Like, I wanted it to be obvious, like, what I care about, what I'm passionate about, purpose about. Like, I wanted a clear message through all of my posts. I've now gotten to that point, you know, in life where it's so clear, and now I just need to go for it, and I've been wanting more, so much more, and I've always wanted a lot of myself. I just didn't know if I could do it, but I really do think I can, and so
absolutely,
I feel really supported in wanting more. That's the piece, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I've always wanted more, but when you need that support to get there, too.
Totally.
Can't get through everything life alone. You really can't. But I want a lot more.
I love that.
I'm ready.
And you're ready for it. I am so excited that you feel ready and excited to watch all of the beautiful things you're going to do.
You.
And thank you so much for your time, energy, vulnerability, sharing your expertise. I'm so grateful.
I'm so grateful too. I feel like I'm in my highest self just speaking to you. You know?
That is such
a beautiful... Like, I feel like we're in a really good vibration right now. Really
absolutely.
High vibration.
That's like the highest compliment I could receive.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for being here today. And of course, a huge thank you to Sneha for her expertise and time during this episode. This is one of the most fulfilling conversations I've had in a very, very long time. So Sneha, thank you. Again, if this is your first time here, please subscribe wherever you are listening. Leave us a like, review, rating, all of the things. And if you leave a review or a comment, you may just get a shout out in a future episode. If you would like to learn more about the Cohere Collective, head on over to www.thecoherecollective.com, and you can follow us on just about any social media, all at the Cohere Collective. That is where you will find the most updates about the podcast and other collective goings on. If you would like to, you can follow me on Instagram at Lillian Reese Brown, and all information about Sneha and how to contact her for her services will be in the description down below wherever you are listening. A big thank you to Nicole Ostreicher for making Meanings art and podcast cover. You can find her on Instagram at Nicole O Creates or Nicole O Design. And a huge thank you to Tristan Morgan for making Meanings theme music. You can find him on Instagram at Tristan Morgan. Right now, I am feeling renewed. It's Monday. This episode comes out tomorrow. It's a great day, and I'm feeling good. A new locked in-edness to my purpose and passion, which feels good to be there with that. And I feel like I've been processing a lot of stuff, and I'm finally about to come out on the other side of and start a new journey of processing, probably. But being able to take some of my recent learnings and apply them feels like the next step, and I'm excited to do that and recommit to some of my goals and passions, and I'm happy to be doing that alongside you. Thank you all so very much for being here, and as always, I hope you feel like you are living more coherently. Until next time, love.